Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining me, whether you are listening or watching. I'm Jill Bloom, group publisher of Roofing Contractor, Walls and Ceilings, and Building Enclosure. And I'm here with Art Eisner today, the editor of Roofing Contractor. And we're honored to have joining us Trent Cotney, the partner of Adams & Reese, who always has the most important insight and hot topics concerning contractors across the country. So Trent, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, Jill and Art, how you guys doing?
Very well, Trent. Good to see you.
Very good. Well, from what we were just talking about, it sounds like there's some things happening with truckers we need to talk about. What do we need to know?
Sure. So, you know, Jill, in the past, we've talked about the independent contractor rule. And a lot of what I'm sort of seeing in the tea leaves is the fact that the Biden administration plans on redefining what is an independent contractor and what is an employee. This obviously affects construction, you know, particularly the roofing space, because there's a lot of contractors out there that use roofing labor. So I've been watching this very closely. Now, one of the things that the Biden administration has said is that it loves the way California does things with regard to misclassification. And for those of you that are listening to this that are from California, you are very familiar with California's AB5 rule. Okay, this was a rule that looked to limit the use of independent contractors. Now, there have been certain exceptions made to it. So if you're an artist or a photographer or something like a journalist, then you may have an exception. But Jill, you know, surprisingly, truckers are not part of that. So there are roughly 70,000 independent contractor truckers that have their own businesses. And this AB5 rule is going to prevent them from running their own businesses. They will have to be employees employed somewhere. From my standpoint, the last thing that we need to be doing right now is messing with truckers. You know, they're the ones that are keeping our supply chain going. So I don't want anything to come in the way of truckers right now. You know, if I could give them gas out of my own car, I'd do that, you know. So let's keep them on the road. But I think, you know, it's interesting. You're going to see a lot of pushback, and there already has been a lot of protests and other things that have come from the trucking industry, but I think you're going to start seeing a lot of retail and, you know, other industries that depend on trucking really standing up to this rule and saying, look, you know, we got to have some flexibility here. If you can carve it out for artists that aren't really helping our supply chain much, then you can figure out a way to do it for truckers as well. So.
Well, Trent, obviously we are in the middle of a supply chain crisis, you know, still, and trying to navigate that through. Why put something like this forward on, you know, on the table? And I did want to ask, is there anything relatable to these independent contractors? Is there any union side to this? And is that part of this conversation behind the scenes?
Yeah, obviously, you know, unions play a big role in anything and everything related to the use of independent contractors. You know, they lobby, both from construction standpoint and for truckers, have, you know, helped effectuate some of these laws and rules. So you can imagine a lot of the independent contractors out there are not unionized. They are, you know, non-signatory independent contractors that are running their own businesses. So yeah, you can absolutely see that, you know, coming into play here. One of the things that people need to understand is that AB5 has been around for a while now, right? This is not something that's new. It's been around for a few years, but you're just starting to see implementation. And as this thing gets implemented and as it continues to be challenged, you start having problems like this surface. Again, you know, great example of something that looked like a winner on paper in a vacuum. And then you put it out there in the real world and you realize, hey, this may have unintended consequences. So I think, you know, there needs to be some carve outs. There needs to be some exceptions. I'm all for making sure that employees are properly classified. I think that's a good thing, right? But I also think you need to have some understanding of what the industry requires, whether it's construction, trucking, whatever it might be. And it's not a one-size-fits-all thing. You know, this is not, retail may be different than trucking, then may be different than construction. And I think this rule and the other rules that deal with it need to reflect that.
Anything contractors can or should be doing right now on this?
Yeah, you definitely need to watch the federal playground on this. You know, this is my biggest concern is that the discussions that the Department of Labor is having with the change to the independent contractor designation could potentially affect, you know, everyone in the construction industry. So, you know, make sure that you know who your federal representatives and senators are. Make sure you talk to them. Make sure your voice is heard. You know, work through your local, regional, state, national associations to so that you can get this issue out in front. This is definitely something, this is not the right time to be messing with this. We're already at a very volatile position where it's impossible to find skilled labor. You know, I think there is a middle ground, and I think we need to work towards that.
All right. Well, you did mention that there is some pushback on it. Another thing we're hearing some pushback on is kind of a return to some of the Obama era OSHA record keeping. What's the status on that?
Yeah. So back during the Obama era, there was initial electronic OSHA record keeping requirements where you would have to submit not just your summary log, your 300. But you would also have to submit the individual details. So you're submitting, you know, 300, 301s, you know, all of that electronically. The issue with that is they're trying to go back to that standard where you're going to have to produce not just the summary, but the detailed sheets. And there's a lot of privacy concerns there because it may talk about, you know, employee injuries. There's concerns that a lot of this information becomes public knowledge and can be used adversely by competitors or others. You know, it's interesting when this, when in, I think it was 2016 when it first sort of surfaced, or maybe 2015, the idea was, the stated idea by OSHA was to shame those that have these injuries, right? And I disagree with that mentality. I don't think you need to have sort of the Scarlet A on people that have injuries or illnesses. I think you don't want to create a chilling effect where, you know, companies are going to be afraid to put stuff down because the whole world can see it. You want them to be open and obvious about it and be able to make sure that they've got a culture of safety and are constantly working towards correcting any problems that there are. So as you can imagine, a lot of industry groups have challenged this, will continue to challenge it as you know, currently in rulemaking. I do anticipate that even right now they have to do summary sheets if you're over a certain size employer. I do expect that there probably will be some additional electronic record keeping requirements by the end of the year.
Okay, well, keep an eye on that. And as you mentioned, there's always those ripple effects that you know, everybody feels but doesn't always think about initially. I wanted to ask you both, you guys both recently just returned from Daytona and FRSA. Trent, I was curious to hear what are contractors talking to you about? What was the buzz on the show floor?
Yeah, great event, man. I tell you, we had a blast. It was really good seeing everybody, really upbeat. You know, Lisa Pate and staff, executive committee, they all did a fantastic job planning it. A lot of really cool events and things that happened, not just during the trade show, but afterwards as well. You know, I had the opportunity to be on the trade show floor and really got to talk to a lot of contractors. Everyone is really concerned about the state of the economy. You know, they are concerned about inflation. They're concerned about rising interest rates. The usual topics of lack of skilled labor and materials are always a problem, but I think there's, you know, that sinking feeling that we're in for a ride here. And a lot of contractors, you know, especially in the residential sector, are a little concerned that some of the retail work might dry up as, you know, the purse strings tighten. But overall, everybody very, very upbeat. You know, I had an opportunity to really see some old friends that I hadn't had a chance to see in a while. And at least that was sort of my experience. Jill, did you get the same thing?
I totally did. I second everything you just said. Lisa and the team at FRSA did a fabulous job. And I thought it was really special for them to bring it back to Daytona, where the very first FRSA was 100 years ago. It's kind of hard to believe it's been 100 years. So it was a big monumental year for them. And I felt a lot of positive energy from everybody there, just excited to see everybody and be face to face and be together.
Absolutely. Yeah. Great event. And I'd love to say I'll be around for the next owner, but I know that's not going to happen. So glad I got to see this one.
Most definitely. Well, Trent, thank you so much for joining us today. If anybody has any questions for you, how do they reach you?
Sure. Just email me at trent.gottney@arlaw.com.
Fabulous. And if anybody has any questions for us, it's roofingcontractor.com, wconline.com, or buildingenclosureonline.com. And while you're there, make sure you sign up for all our free content, our e-news, our website, our podcasts, our webinars, whatever it might be that you need to capture all this great information, especially from Trent. But most importantly, stay safe and healthy, and we can't wait to talk to you next time.